Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Several headlines coming out of the state capitol and the state legislature here in Montana. Here's just a couple of headlines that are in front of me right now. Two Republican Medicaid expansion bills advance. One from the Democrats is tabled. That's from a liberal blog called the Daily Montanan. Montana Public Radio has this headline. Lawmakers begin work on property tax changes. So that and more we're going to cover here in about 1 hour in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show. We're going to kick it off with Montana Senate President Republican Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. And then after him, we'll also get a weekly update from the Democrats as well. Representative Jonathan Carlin is a House Minority Whip. He's out of Missoula. He'll join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. Here in the 8 o'clock hour, of course, we'll get to your phone calls. We've got a lot to cover from the RFK Jr. hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday, the latest on efforts to deport the criminal illegal aliens and secure our southern border. The numbers have just gone down dramatically. I don't know if you've seen this chart that President Trump posted on Truth Social, but it just showed the climb and the massive climb. Even if there was a little drop here, a little hike here, a little climb, just massive number of illegal aliens and interactions on our southern border in particular. And then, boom, Donald Trump takes office. Tom Homan and the rest of the federal law enforcement agencies get to work, and boom, just those numbers just fell off of a cliff with regard to interactions on our southern border. In fact, President Trump's Rapid Response 47 crew on X said this: open borders were a policy choice. Those days are now over. And of course, this is, of course, good news. As I ran the numbers yesterday, I looked at the jail roster in Gallatin County, because you've got yet another rape suspect in the jail in Gallatin County currently being held on an immigration hold. And how many times have we seen headlines just like that? Yet another rape suspect or another crime and another criminal behind bars in Gallatin County, Montana, of all places, on an immigration hold or on an ICE detainer. I went and looked at the jail roster yesterday. There is a dozen suspects, a dozen inmates at that jail right now that either are or were initially put on an immigration hold that are still occupying that crowded jail space as we speak. All right, so we'll get to your phone calls here after the break. Also, we've got one guest joining us this hour of the program. He's a retired Army helicopter pilot out of Helena, Montana, Darren Gobb with Restore Liberty. We're going to get his take on this tragic helicopter and plane crash, a collision near Reagan National Airport in our nation's capital. So we're going to get his take on that and more. You've probably seen him on Fox News before, but he's going to join us here, I think, after our 8:20 break or as soon as he's able to join us.
It's January 30th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Croissant Day, and for your knowledge, croissants are not the same as crescent rolls. The perfect croissant is the correct blend of butter folded into thin layers of pastry dough, which allow for the light, flaky, and soft inside with the laminated outside. Also on this date, in 1825, the U.S. Library of Congress is reestablished after it was burned to the ground during the War of 1812. All 3,000 volumes were lost. Thomas Jefferson replenished the library, selling 6,500 books, the bulk of his personal collection, to the government. And in 1993, the Dallas Cowboys became the first team in NFL history to start a season 0-2 and still win the Super Bowl, defeating the Buffalo Bills 30-13 in Super Bowl 28. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Phil Collins of the rock group Genesis, born in 1951, and actor Christian Bale, born in 1974. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Out here, in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Stress builds up, you have trouble sleeping, maybe your mind is racing and you just don't feel like yourself. So what do? We get help. Lots of people are struggling with their mental health. It's more common than you think. The good news is, there are people in our community who are here for us when times are tough. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world, so we don't feel so alone. One thing you can do is visit loveyourmindtoday.org for simple steps you can take to find the right solution for you. Whether it's hearing stories about what other people are going through, or finding the resources we need to navigate the stresses in our lives. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got the phone lines open for you for most of this 8 o'clock hour of this show. 406-294-0970. And then, like I mentioned, at some point, maybe after our 8:20 break this morning, we should be getting a phone call from retired Lieutenant Colonel Darren Gobb. He was a helicopter pilot in the U.S. Army. Now very involved here in Montana and Montana politics, but he is with an organization called Restore Liberty, and you'll see him on Fox News on occasion talking national security issues. So obviously today there's a lot of folks that are wanting to hear his take on this Black Hawk helicopter collision with this American Airlines jet near Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. So we're going to get a chance to hear from him at some point here this hour of the show. First, though, let's start with your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Lee in Kalispell is first up this morning. Lee, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi. This is about the crash of the airline. Actually, it was probably predictable. For one thing, the airport itself is short, which doesn't affect what happened, but, you know, and they actually had to build a pier out to hold part of the runway, I heard. It went something like from 15 million people a year to 25 million leaving that area, not to mention the military base across the ocean or across the river from them. And, you know, it seems like it would be predictable that some... Oh, and they were talking about getting rid of the Reagan Airport there and moving it to a more isolated area. But the congressman, Nick, said idea because it was so convenient for him to get to the airport, I guess, in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's one of the questions that people are already asking. I know on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, they were making that point. As far as predictability, I mean, these flights happen. It sounds like there wasn't anything that was out of the normal processes and procedures at Reagan National Airport, and so helicopters often fly in that area, inbound jets. So something like this still should not have happened. But certainly the question is being raised, of course, as to, you know, they recently expanded the number of flights going into Reagan National, and you know, is it more than they can handle? Is certainly a question that I'd imagine Congress may soon be looking at because, yeah, Lee, thanks for the call. Because, you know, for those who've never flown to Washington, D.C., so, you know, Reagan National Airport, for example, when I flew out to Washington for the presidential inauguration weekend before last, I was supposed to fly into Reagan National. And, yeah, Reagan National is the ideal airport to fly into because it's right across the river. From D.C., a short Uber ride, a short subway ride, and boom, you're practically wherever you want to go inside the city. You can get right to Capitol Hill. So, yeah, if you're a senator or a congressman, certainly, and you're traveling back and forth all the time and you're trying to spend as much time back home in your home district like Montana or elsewhere as possible, yeah, you would rather land it at Reagan National, because then you can get right to work or get right to, you know, your couch, whatever you're sleeping on while you're you know, in Washington. Whereas Dulles International Airport, that drive, depending on traffic, could take a while. I'm trying to think. I took the Metro subway line because I was on Capitol Hill, you know, a week ago from Tuesday. You know, we did our show from Congressman Zinke's office, and then I hung around, had lunch with friends, and, you know, saw some folks that were there from Montana taking tours and everything. So then I was like, okay, I don't want to pay, you know, buku bucks and then potentially get stuck in traffic taking a taxi. So I'll just hop on the Metro subway that's half a block away from me right now and take the subway out there. And it was, you know, at least an hour on a subway ride, which, of course, then you've got security concerns, et cetera, if you're, you know, one of these, you know, public officials. But yeah, that's one of the questions that I know is going to be raised. Some of the other questions is, you look at just sheer tragedy. I know many of you were just sick when you saw this or heard about it on the news last night. And I was thinking back, too, do you guys know Rachel Campos Duffy? So Rachel Campos Duffy, she's one of the weekend anchors on Fox and Friends. She's been back here to Montana. She spoke at an event at Rocky Mountain College. But you remember Rachel Campos Duffy, when we had the young lady at West High School in Billings, the cheerleader with Down syndrome, and she just wanted to graduate high school with her friends and walk with her graduating class, and you know, we all had to fight the school board in order to help her make that happen. Well, Rachel Campos Duffy shared her story and had her and her parents on Fox and Friends, gave them national attention. And a big part of why is because Rachel Campos Duffy, her and her husband, Sean Duffy, they've got like six or nine kids and just a beautiful family. And their youngest, I believe, their youngest little girl has Down syndrome. So she's got such a heart for kids with Down syndrome. Well, if you saw it yesterday afternoon, they sent out some great photographs of their beautiful family and all their kids and how happy they were, because Sean Duffy was being sworn in as the Secretary of Transportation. He is President Trump's Secretary of Transportation now, former Wisconsin congressman. And to see just this contrast of this beautiful family, their beautiful kids, and he's getting sworn in to be Secretary of Transportation. And then I think they said earlier this morning that 2 hours later is when this tragedy struck. And just like we've been saying, this is exactly why President Trump and the president needs to have the ability to have his team in place on day one, especially given the challenges facing this country. And certainly we've seen challenges in our transportation sectors here in America. That's why he needs his team in place on day one, hour two.
Amazing and consequential changes in the U.S. economy since COVID has been the changing geographic pattern of growth. The population of California has actually fallen, and within the larger metropolitan areas across the country, the dense central business districts are hollowing out, and changes appear to be settling in to stay. On a state-by-state basis, the new clusters of growth are apparent. It's all happening, with only a few exceptions, in the Mountain West and in the South. Montana has recovered 149% of the jobs we lost in the pandemic, which is to say that we've grown way past where we were before the recession hit us. Utah is at 200%. There are a dozen states that have yet to recover what they lost, mostly in the upper Midwest and the Northeast. The worst is Hawaii, still 20% short of their pre-COVID job totals. How and why are these growth shifts happening? Certainly remote work makes some of it possible. Taxes? Crime? It's hard to say. It's also hard to ignore. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
Security preparations have been elevated in New Orleans for next week's Super Bowl, following the New Year's terrorist attack in the French Quarter, during which 14 people were killed by an ISIS sympathizer who drove his truck into a crowd. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry says there will be two enhanced security zones, one in the Quarter and one around the Superdome, which will aim to balance protection and freedom. He says public awareness is key, and that data shows when people are actively aware and looking for potential problems,
those that seek to create mass casualty events will seek another place to do that.
New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell says the city is an experienced Super Bowl host, but
we're still going above and beyond what we've seen in the past.
She says she's absolutely confident Super Bowl week and the game itself will be safe. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, Marty in Billings. Marty in Billings, stand by on the phone lines if you can. We'll get to you here in a few minutes. Or if you want to call back in a few minutes, you can as well. If you don't want to be stuck waiting on hold for, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, depending on how much time we have with our next guest here. But I know he's, a lot of folks all across the country are wanting to get his take on this tragedy in our nation's capital. So I want to jump right into it here. We've got retired Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army helicopter pilot Darren Gobb with us on the phone lines. I believe he's back home in Helena right now as we speak. Darren, Colonel, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for calling in. I wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah, hey, good morning, Aaron. Of course, yes, better circumstances would be ideal, but I think people are looking for some honest answers and at least some reasonable assessments of what could have happened. And that has caused me to have about 27 interviews in 24 hours. It's interesting place to be. Interesting days.
Yeah, obviously, just a punch in the gut. Just, you know, seeing the video, from a distance of this collision, knowing that there were three crew members on that Black Hawk helicopter is what we've been told, and then 64, I believe, is the count, with no expected survivors, passengers and crew on that American Airlines flight. What are your thoughts and your takeaways based off of everything you're seeing and reading and hearing so far?
Yeah, first and foremost, of course, is the prayers of the family, just the absolute tragedy of this, and the sense that it seems like it probably was avoidable without being able to say that for absolute. I have been talking to some people who were a standardization pilot who was in that exact detachment. But based on the video that I think most have seen by now of the actual impact and some of the audio from the air traffic controllers that some have also probably heard, my sense, hypothetically, is that this comes down to a challenge of communication and confirming what was said and acting on it, and two, following very specific and defined procedures that are necessary to fly around Reagan National Airport. And I've done some of those procedures. They're not necessarily difficult on any given day, day or night, but the margin of error, if you do forget to pay attention for a little bit, can get you outside of certain flight corridors and altitude or left and right limits. So we don't know much. We don't know enough, but that's my sense so far.
Yeah, it's hard to tell from a long-range video, which is the video that's being seen the most. But it literally looks like you just see this helicopter flying just straight line distance, not too high above the ground. And then all of a sudden you see the lights from the plane coming inbound and just ran smack dab into it. So that's what the view looks like from afar. I know a lot of people are wondering, well, couldn't the helicopter see something? What's the visibility like from inside the helicopter? Tammy Duckworth, a senator from, one of the senators was saying, well, no, you can actually see pretty good even up above. Somebody else was saying, no, it's hard. Helicopter pilots are mostly looking down and out. They're not necessarily looking above. But you've been there. You've seen it. Isn't a crew chief kind of sometimes hanging out the window as well? It's like I say, it's hard to know everything that was going on.
Yeah. I suspect you're going to find some sort of additive factors that there may not be one thing that you can point to other than a potential not adhering to the directions from a radio call. However, when it comes to visibility, the two pilots up front, I'm going to assume for now they probably were not wearing night vision goggles because of the amount of light around D.C. actually bleeds them out, and you've probably experienced this in your own way.
Yeah.
To the point where they're not even really all that useful. So you should have normal field of view, but for example, if you wore those goggles, you bring it into a 40-degree field of view, which severely limits you. Now, the crew chiefs in back, they wear the same goggles, they have the same limitations, they have more mobility because they can move around. However, given the temperatures, I wouldn't be surprised if the windows for the crew chiefs were closed, and they only had one crew chief, by the way, which means one side had less visibility, less ability to identify any obstacles in other aircraft and transmit that to the pilots for them to be able to avoid something. Vertical visibility on behalf of the pilots is fine. You know, you got a little more up than you do down, but I've never had an issue with visibility in a Black Hawk unless I'm landing in something like moon dust in the middle of the Middle Eastern desert, flying around D.C. that time of night, clear night. You wouldn't have had any issues at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now, what people don't also go ahead.
Well, yeah, well, no, continue if you want on that front. Or, you know, I've got a couple of questions, but I'd also kind of wanted to see, you're doing 27 interviews in 24 hours. What are some of the questions that other people are throwing your direction so I don't reinvent the wheel here? I was just going to say, you know, I've seen that crowded airspace above D.C., and it's very busy airspace. You got Marine One flying around. You've got other helicopters flying around. The Capitol Police there's other law enforcement protecting the Capitol that have helicopters, and then the air traffic on top of that.
Yeah, very condensed airspace, very specific procedures, very specific communications requirements, all of that. To me, I like to describe it as one of the highly tuned sports car motors that if a little thing goes wrong, the whole motor shuts down. And that is a possibility here where something small with a small margin of error caused this. And on the positive side, though, for folks to know in general, hundreds and hundreds of flights go through there all the time. Military, fixed wing and rotary wing, commercial, all of the above. And this is a testimony to the professionalism of ATC, the pilots, and everybody who goes to the training there, that something like this is considered extreme and rare. So I want to make sure we start off with that. But it also gets down, then, because of that dense airspace, it gets down to a question of what do the aircraft have to potentially help warn them about a possible obstacle or hazard. Well, the commercial airlines have a TCAS, which is basically an alert system that lets them know they're close to a collision, something that they're going to hit. That's mandatory in commercial aircraft. It's, let's call it in a degraded mode below 1,500 feet, still operational, but it can overwhelm a pilot if it goes below 1,500 feet, because then everything becomes an obstacle and the aircraft's announcing it to you, and it interferes with you as a pilot from focusing on the radios and flying the plane. That system does not exist on a UH-60 Lima Blackhawk, nor does a Black Box voice recorder or data recorder in that particular model. So you're not going to get the typical NTSB black box that says, you know, you can replay back everything that was said, or be able to replay back all of the instrumentation and readouts that were there all the way up to the point of impact.
So we may never know what they said or what they saw, what they said, or what was going on inside of that Black Hawk, like we could with the airline flight itself. What are some other big takeaways? I know you probably got to run here, but when we hit our next break here, and let me know if you got to leave earlier, because I know you've got a busy schedule here this morning. But what are some of the other big questions that some folks are already throwing your direction?
You know, that gets to most of it from the aircraft side. There's a question floating around about the fact that this was a training flight and whether that's normal or abnormal. And I will say it's entirely normal. It happens hundreds of times around that area, specifically because they have to train to be proficient not only in the aircraft and goggles, day, night, whatever. They have to be proficient in the airspace requirements.
That's right.
And instruments. So
and flight
they were
paths
on an annual proficiency and readiness test. Flight paths, corridors. I mean, you're trying to basically shove a marble through a hose. And you can't move other than within the hose, the size of that hose. That's what you're dealing with. And so they were on a training mission. We can't read into that and say that there was an experience issue or anything like that. It's just a training mission. Everything else will paint the bigger picture. The tapes from the ATC recordings, the radar hits. All of that has to come together to get the best possible picture there. But I've been on many of those kind of training missions. It's just called an annual proficiency and readiness test. It means when you've reached the maximum readiness level within your organization that you fly for, which means you can do all the missions they're required to do under all modes of flight, whether that be day, night, or under night vision. Every year you're there, you have to go through this test.
Yeah, the best fighters in the world. The best fighters in the world are constantly training. Well, do they stop training because of the best fighters in the world? No, that's why they're the best fighters in the world, because they're always training. And so, and yeah, a lot of people were wondering if there might have been, you know, a VIP, maybe even the SecDef himself on one of those flights last night. Obviously, there wasn't. But they train for when they do have somebody like a VIP on that flight. So they know the flight path, they know the corridors. And unfortunately, this one ended up in tragedy. But I wonder if it will, you know, force a discussion about, you know, the expanded flights at Reagan National Airport, or even just the number of aircraft that are flying over Washington, period, when they could do maybe a ground escort or something like that instead. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Darren Gobb, if you want to stick around, if you've got time, I'd love to chat with you more after the break, but I've got about a minute before the break here. If you've got anything else you want to share with folks across Montana before we run.
I'll have to take a minute, and then I got to head over to Fox's next. But thank you. Biggest thing here now is keep the families and friends in your prayers, and know that the FAA structure, the training of the military pilots, although it suffered some over the last 4 years, it's still good. They are professionals. They're excellent, and they're going to continue to be so. And we'll let this play out, and let's let the experts do their job. NTSB knows what they're doing. They'll come out with the facts. I look forward to hearing them. And if something needs to change, then let's change it.
Well said. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Darren Gobb out of Helena, Montana. Thanks for your time. I appreciate your insight this morning. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. Marty and Billings first up on the phone lines next. Listen.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, we got a lot to talk about here as well. Switching back to, you know, talking about this invasion of illegal aliens here in this country. And again, as I told you at the top of the hour, I went and looked at the Gallatin County Detention Facility. I looked at their jail inmate roster because I thought about calling the sheriff's office. I sent the sheriff's office an email and didn't hear back, but I thought, yeah, I should just give them a phone call. Some people prefer phone calls, and, you know, I'm here at O'Dark 30 in the morning, and they probably don't want me calling at 4:30 in the morning, so I figure I'll just send them an email instead. But I thought, wait a minute, I can go get the numbers myself, at least for the current. A dozen inmates in the jail in Bozeman are on or were initially held on an immigration detainer, and some of them on hold for ICE. Some are being on hold for the U.S. Marshals. But I mean, we're talking about rape suspects. We're talking about, you know, aggravated assault charges, or even some things like driving without insurance. You know, we had a caller from the Flathead talk about how, you know, he got hit by an illegal alien, and the illegal alien didn't have insurance, so now he's out a lot of cash, out of vehicle, and it's probably losing his car insurance. So there's all these second and third order effects. But anyway, President Trump talked about the numbers of illegal border crossings. They've fallen by more than 100%. Just since Donald Trump took office. I'll play that audio in a second here. Plus, border czar Tom Homan talks about President Trump signing the Lake and Riley Act into law. But first, as promised, let's go to Marty in Billings. Marty, I understand you want to weigh in on this idea that was thrown out about, hey, what if they use the Metro Park in Billings to be a temporary holding facility for illegal aliens before they quickly ship them out of here? What's your thoughts?
I think it's a great idea, and I'm also concerned that, if I understood you right, that the county doesn't have any more holding space.
Well, in the jail, yeah, the jail is full. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would think that the safety of our communities should be a priority, and maybe if they spend our tax dollars on expanding jail facilities instead of costly roundabouts that create more problems than help, that we'd be further ahead.
Well,
you know,
I
we can have, you know, yeah. They say where tax dollars go, but that doesn't seem to go anywhere.
Well, that's, I mean, this is unfortunately a challenge that's facing our state and our country. As our country has become more of a welfare state, security, basic security needs don't get met. And then you pile in this invasion on our southern border and it makes it even worse. I mean, it's like the big one of the big discussions in Helena is about Medicaid expansion, spending a lot more money to for working people to pay for somebody else to get something for free. And yet we have jails that are full and a prison that's full and criminals and illegals that are targeting the people with crime. And it's hard to put people behind bars. So, yeah, it's a priority thing. Now, thankfully, the Yellowstone County Commissioners and the Billings City Council, they're teaming up to try to build a short-term detention facility to basically be able to house, you know, more inmates. But on top of that, so you think this idea of hey, let's use the Metro Park. If ICE needs a place to just temporarily hold people before they ship them out of the country, here you go. This is one option that I would think that the detention facility out in Hardin that's being used by the BIA right now would be another good option. But I just appreciate the fact that Commissioner Morse, Yellowstone County Commissioner Morse, is saying, hey, we are here to help. We're trying to tackle this youth gang violence problem, the drug problem. We're trying to tackle the illegal immigrant problem that we've got here in Montana, because that's been a big driver of all this crime.
I would agree. I wholeheartedly agree. But I get, again, we the American people need, and our communities need to be secured and prioritized before anything else.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, doing whatever they have to take care of these illegals and get them out of here.
Exactly. And all too often, it's like public safety is the, well, we'll give you public safety if you give us extra money, but we're going to use the money to fund all this other stuff first, the woke stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, even Billings has been victim to the woke politics. But hopefully that city council is in the process of changing to a common sense majority. I did see there's a new city council member, and she works for a nonprofit called Love and Sunshine, which is a really cool Christian ministry organization. So hopefully she'll be a good city council member coming from a great organization like that and tackling crime being, you know, mission number one there. All right, Marty, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's go next to Jolene in Gallatin County. Jolene, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Hey, this is a call to action. There's a House Bill 275 that would give drivers privilege cards, as I understand it, to illegals. This is by Ed Staffman. It's in the House Transportation Committee, so we need to message Helena and tell that committee to vote no.
Oh, interesting. So that is a different one, because I've heard, because there's a bill that would require law enforcement to check immigration status during stops. That's House Bill 278 by Representative Nellie Nickel out of Billings. But then Jerry Schillinger, Representative Schillinger out of Circle, called me earlier this morning. He said somebody has a bill that would say that they would put your citizenship status on the driver's license. That to me sounds like a great bill, because it would be helpful for voter ID and much more. But so the Democrats have a bill that would basically extend special privileges to illegal aliens. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's House Bill 275 by Ed Staffman. There were a bunch of proponents for it, and we only had one person, I guess, speaking against it. So we need to send some more messages into Helena.
Yeah, because the Democrats, I mean, they have all their community organizers can show up every day to testify on all their sorts of crazy stuff. Well, thanks for flagging that one for us, because, yeah, that's just crazy. But isn't that also interesting? That just shows, you know, David Noble and I were chatting about how some of the D.C. Democrats, I think they got the message. after they lost the elections in November, and that's why they finally voted for the Lake and Riley Act after they filibustered it when they were in charge. Now Democrats in the Senate finally voted for the Lake and Riley Act, right, to deport these criminal illegal aliens when they've been, you know, convicted of other crimes. But apparently the Montana Democrats still did not get the message, or they don't care what the people of Montana had to say, because they are doubling down on their support for illegal aliens with this bill. And then, of course, Zoe Zephyr is the spokesperson for their party, the leader of their party. So they've doubled down on the radical transgender insanity as well.
Yeah, it's kind of unthinkable, but it goes under the heading of the burden of bad ideas, and this bill is definitely under that category in my mind.
Sure sounds like it. Thanks for putting that one on our radar, Jolene. Great to hear from you. All right, here's President Trump. It sounds like he gave some remarks at the White House yesterday after signing the Lake and Riley Act into law. And by the way, if you haven't seen the powerful words of Lake and Riley's mother, Lake and Riley's mom was at that bill signing at the White House yesterday, and man, I tell you what, she shared some powerful, tear-jerking remarks, talking about their family's loss, but also how their faith in Jesus continues. It's a really powerful stuff that you got to see. Here's President Trump talking about the massive decline in illegal border crossings already.
This week, compared to a comparable time a year ago, think of this. The number of illegal border crossers has already fallen by more than 100%. And because the election was coming, they started getting a little bit tougher on the border. They tried to follow our policies, and they did much better, but it still was horrible. The numbers were still horrible. So that's 100% over those. They only did it because of the election, so they knew what they were doing was wrong. And those who do cross the border, and you're seeing that every time, all you have to do is turn on your television set or pick up a newspaper, read any form of new media, because we have a lot of new media today, fortunately, that's letting the word get out. But they're watching these people be captured and removed from our country. ICE arrests have risen by 15 times in just a short period.
All right. That was President Trump. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. You can see that full audio. Coming up after the break, I'll share some remarks from Tom Homan about the Lake and Riley Act being signed into law. Here's Kristi Noem, Homeland Security Secretary, talking about defunding the NGOs that are facilitating this human trafficking operation on our borders.
I think people are curious when we look at grants that are given out by federal agencies at how they're utilized, and that evaluation needs to be done. We're not spending another dime to help the destruction of this country. We're going to make sure that we follow through on what President Trump has promised.
Well said. We got to hold it there.
Up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You have House panel to investigate sanctuary cities. What have I been saying about sanctuary cities? They're aiding and abetting law breaking. They're codifying law breaking into law, which they don't have the authority to do. We have a supremacy clause. This falls under the jurisdiction of the federal government. This House panel is going to call on Democratic mayors to testify. Apparently, this is like an immigration culture shock. I've heard more Nazi, Gestapo, Hitler comparisons. I mean, this is what the Democrats have done for 9 years. This is who they are. They've got no solutions. And, you know, we have, why are they handcuffing people on flights? Well, because they haven't been vetted.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard. My friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices, and with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or a free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, they use the same 5G network. You'll get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword save now and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250, keyword save now from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. President Trump left Washington 4 years ago a beaten man. He lost a bitter election battle, faced recriminations over the Capitol riot. F. Scott Fitzgerald famously pronounced that there are no second acts in American lives. But he may not have been writing about sports or politics. In athletics, Tommy John and even Michael Jordan come to mind. Politics is replete with comebacks. Richard Nixon, Winston Churchill, and Vladimir Lenin make the cut. And so does President Trump. He's now only the second American president to return to office. President Grover Cleveland served his first term from 1885 to 1889, but Cleveland lost the presidency in 1888 to President Benjamin Harrison. However, Cleveland rallied to vanquish Harrison in 1892 and came back to the White House. So this is a second act for Mr. Trump, and the expectations are astronomical. He has a narrow margin in the House, and that will make it hard to muscle through his agenda on tax cuts and slicing the size of government. Voters are also watching to see what's accomplished on the border and inflation. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got a message here, and on the name line, when you type in your name on the Montana Talks app message, it's from Terry working hard in Kalispell. Not just Terry in Kalispell. This is Terry working hard in Kalispell. I'm glad you're working hard, Terry, because there's a lot of illegal aliens and woke man bun dudes sitting on the couch not working hard today that need you to pay for all their free stuff. So thank you for working hard. Terry in Kalispell. Good morning. Is a sanctuary state harboring fugitives? Can't these people be held accountable? Remember, no one is above the law. Thank you for all you do in informing all of us. Yeah, I think Tom Homan has said that if these folks stand in the way of federal law enforcement officers enforcing our immigration laws, they will be held accountable in these so-called sanctuary cities. Speaking of Tom Homan, here you go. Borders are Tom Homan. He was on Fox News yesterday talking about President Trump signing the Laken-Riley Act into law.
We just saw that you were in at the ceremony for the Laken-Riley Act. Obviously, an emotional time for her family and for families like hers that you have had too much experience with. What changes with this act? What does it allow law enforcement to do, Tom?
Look, it's a requirement for DHS to actually detain these people. So if you're in the country illegally, you get arrested for a crime, you have to detain. It's no longer an option. So if this was in effect during the Biden administration, you wouldn't see criminal aliens being released every day by the hundreds every day. So this isn't statute, it's in law. You've got to detain these people. It's the right thing to do to protect public safety. President Trump, a game changer. This is going to be a very effective action to keep our streets safer from starting day one.
Yeah, and let me just underline one more important point here, too. The Laken-Riley Act, think about it. How many times did Republican senators in particular try to pass the Laken-Riley Act last year? How many times did they try to get Kate's Law passed in Washington? And they were met with, remember, Kate Steinle, the case out of California, over a decade ago. And remember, who stood in the way of the Laken-Riley Act last year, even though he claimed he supported? Who stood in the way of Kate's Law a decade plus prior to that? The former Democrat senator from Montana. And again, I say that to say that, like, look, the Democrats are going to eventually try to reinvent themselves and pretend to be something they're not. You know exactly who they are now. John Tester got completely exposed. Oh, we're moderate. We're not like those D.C. Democrats or those California Democrats. You've got a you've got a Democrat out of Bozeman trying to give illegal aliens a special driver privilege card right now in Helena. You've got Zoe Zephyr as the basic leader of the Democrat Party trying to chop body parts off of kids right now. Even still, is there one Democrat that is voting with the Republicans in the legislature in Helena when it comes to protecting kids from these radical transgender drugs and surgeries that they're trying to perform on these kids? And so, again, the reason why this invasion occurred, it's not just Joe Biden. The reason why it took Republicans finally taking control of the United States Senate on January 3rd of this year, 27 days ago, to finally get the Laken Riley Act through the Senate is because Democrats like John Tester, because Montana Democrats were standing in the way of it and aiding and abetting these criminal illegal aliens. You can't just sit back and say, oh, that was just Joe Biden. Wow, what a bad 4 years that was. No, it was years and years, decades of Democrats, especially Montana Democrats, who aided and abetted this criminal invasion. But boom, the first week he's out of the way, the Laken Riley Act passes the Senate. The first week Donald Trump's president of the United States, he signs it into law.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One of the most amazing and consequential changes in the U.S. economy since COVID has been the changing geographic pattern of growth. The population of California is actually falling, and within the larger metropolitan areas across the country, the dense central business districts are hollowing out, and changes appear to be settling in to stay. On a state-by-state basis, the new clusters of growth are apparent. It's all happening, with only a few exceptions, in the Mountain West and in the South. Montana has recovered 149% of the jobs we lost in the pandemic, which is to say that we've grown way past where we were before the recession hit us. Utah is at 200%. There are a dozen states that have yet to recover what they lost, mostly in the upper Midwest and the Northeast. The worst is Hawaii, still 20% short of their pre-COVID job totals. How and why are these growth shifts happening? Certainly remote work makes some of it possible. Taxes? Crime? It's hard to say. It's also hard to ignore. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.